Blog Talk Radio.
I'm finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty. In the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise, all that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet, hear your voice.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Compliments, Brother Akiyali, for sending that shofar blast off. Appreciate that. If you can hear me, give me a thumbs up. Hey, calling this broadcast. No, I ain't calling this broadcast. Come on, just talk. Shalom, Moran, you going into the box again more? Okay, thumbs up, Aki, Ariel, Yariel, and Avi, Tota Aki. Alrighty. Good morning. I'm your host, Shabael. Government name, Brother Rob, coming to you from Baltimore, Maryland, Beth Yahweh Congregation, under the tutelage of Yaka, Elvin, Gershon, Daniel, HaMashiach, Yahushua. I'm filling in for the usual host on his six-week segment, so hold on. He'll be back, Yah willing, next year, bye. Because he has four more good segments, I believe, to give to us. Hallelujah. I can't wait to hear it myself. I'm going to open up with an opening prayer. Father Yah, thank you for allowing me to wake this morning. Thank you for giving me the breath of life and being in the right front of my mind. Thank you for letting me get through the week this week, Father Yah. Father Yah, forgive me of my sins, knowingly and unknowingly, Father Yah. And continue to encourage me, Father Yah, that I can do all things through your Son, HaMashiach, Yahushua, who strengthened me. Because his word, your word, that he came to stand for, that he gave laid down his life for, that empowered me. That's the promise that he told us to wait upon after his crucifixion over 2,000 years ago. So we see that power, the Holy Spirit, that it dwells in this temple that you prepared for me for my birth. Father Yah, continue to watch over our spiritual leader, Rabbi Yahkael. Continue to feed him and give him the knowledge we can dispense amongst us so that we can give it to the congregation and the many listening audiences on these airwaves and the people that we come across in our daily life. Continue to watch over Sister Debbie and strengthen her so she can continue to share her wisdom. Yahweh bless and allow her to live these years on earth. Continue to strengthen Sister Naomi so she can be a witness and her testimony to people that she come across that's going through some trials. And she can encourage them to wait on Yahweh and stand for Yahweh. Continue to strengthen Brother Dale Well as he gets strong every day. Brother's walking without his walk. Continue to keep strengthening Brother Shafutel. When I say Shafutel is healing, he don't have COVID. He's still healing from the COVID from 2020. That's what I'm saying. He gets stronger daily. That's what I mean. So I said, I'm not to clear that up. But I would know what I said. He said, let the listening audience know. Strengthen Brother Mariel, who's going to bring the word today, this afternoon, Yah willing. Strengthen Brother Ariel. Thank him for strengthen Brother Kanukal. Continue to feed and give him the word. And continue to feed and strengthen Brother Yariel so he can finish his segment of the evening broadcast of Blog Talk. He ushers in the Shabbat morning classes. When I say morning, we know evening and morning is the beginning of the day. So he comes on at 8 p.m. on Sabbath evening on Friday night. Watch over our sisters in the congregation. Continue strengthen them to do the Titus 2 commission to prepare backs of Yahweh, daughters of Yahweh, and tear down the spirit of Jezebel that's hidden now in disguise under feminism. Slow down. Watch over our young adults. Continue to comfort little hot coat Danielle. Strengthen her. Watch over our young ones, our children, and our grandchildren. And watch over our Zakin, Zakin Gary, Zakin Ward. Give them the wisdom so they can share the wisdoms that they have for the years that you bless them and allow them to be on this earth so that we can benefit from those things. And anything I forgot to pray for, Father, Holy Spirit, pray for it for me. I thank you in the name of your Son, Yahushua HaMashiach. Amen. I'm reading the priestly, opening priestly blessing for the class. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets, was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chooses Torah, Moshe, his servant, Israel, his nation, and prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Hopefully everyone had a good week this week. If not, the Sabbath is here. I got pretty good rest, which I needed. Just got up around about 10 o'clock, something around that time. Thank Yahweh for that rest. Y'all need it rest. Today, today is I'd like to start a program. Today is the second of Zip, the second month on Yahweh's calendar, on Yahweh's, the creator of heaven and earth. I guess that's the only calendar that should matter, that matters anyway. But we live in a world. Today is the 22nd of April, the fourth month, and the 22nd day of the Gregorian calendar. Today I'll be reading from Chronicles. We'll be reading from First Chronicles. Second Chronicles. We'll be reading from Second Chronicles. That's an Old Testament book. You can find that if you're not familiar with it. You can find Second Chronicles by going to the table of contents and beginning of the Bible. Can you help y'all a little bit real quick? I guess some Bibles, you'd still be in the same area. If you get through the book of 1 Kings and 2 Kings, Chronicles comes after 1 Kings and 2 Kings. And if you near the book of Psalms, or Proverbs, or Job, it comes before them. That'll help you a little bit, give you a little time to get there. Second Chronicles, I think I'm starting chapter 1. I was looking at something this week at work. Couldn't finish it yesterday. I had a lot of shows. But I did get to look at something Wednesday, Thursday. So Yahweh told me, like, you can read that. And as you read, things will come from over the time. That's true. That is true. Excuse me. I'm going to turn to Second Chronicles while you get there. While I read it. Second Chronicles will come as Kings. This Bible. Some Bibles are different. As I said, Second Chronicles don't, Second Chronicles will come as the Kings in this Bible too. I just want Second Chronicles. Hallelujah. What came to my reason why I was asking Yahweh and talking to him this week, and after last week we had a meeting, and on the seventh day of unleavened bread, we were on the thread line that we had, one of the many threads that we had. And before worship, we was discussing some things. And so this week, I just had to be going through and asking Yahweh some things. And I said, well, let me see where things started. You know, me being a timekeeper, I was going to bring this out on a new moon class. Because by starting off, Thursday was the first of Ziph, when the new moon crescent was sighted. So that's what I was going to bring this up. But I said, since I got to do the day show too, I said, I can just bring it out and read today, even though, you know, never too late. But there's some things we can pull from these things, cause some things that I saw. The book of Second Chronicles. Solomon, the son of David, grew stronger in his rulership. Adonai, his God, was with him, making him greater and greater. Let me stand up. gonna put it up on another Bible too, though, because sometimes this Bible reads a little, reads things a little bit different also. So I'm going. Verse 2, Solomon spoke to all of Israel, to the captains of thousands and of hundreds, to the judges and to every prince and all of Israel, heads of the fathers of the household. So Solomon and all the assembly with him went to the high places that was in Gibeon. For Yahweh's tent of meeting was there, which Yahweh's servant Moshe had made in the wilderness. But David had brought Yahweh's ark up from Kiriath Jearim. Make sure I said I pronounced that right. Look that word up. Kiriath Jearim. Hebrew in Mid 71-57, City of Forests. It was found on a location on the western and southern boundaries of Benjamin. You know, part of the territory, the inheritance of the tribe of Benjamin that they received. Verse 5, moreover, the brazen altar and that Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, made, he put before the tabernacle of Yahweh, and Solomon and the congregation sought unto it. Verse 6, and Solomon went up thither to the brazen altar before Yahweh, which was at the tabernacle of the congregation, and offered 1,000 burnt offerings upon it. In that night, Yahweh appeared unto Solomon and said unto him, ask, what shall I give thee? Verse 8, Solomon said to Yahweh, you have shown great love and kindness to David, my father, and have made me king in his place. Now, Yahweh God, let your promise to David, my father, be established, for you have made me a king over a people like the dust of the earth in the multitudes. Now, give me wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people, or who can judge this great people of yours? So what I have said when I was reading this over the course of the week, I was trying to find out the difference of the construction of I had a note somewhere, the difference of, a while back, the difference of the construction and the pattern for the tabernacle that Yahweh gave to Moshe in Exodus 25, and now for the building of the temple that Yahweh is going to give to Solomon. And as we just heard that at verse 5, we say Bezalel, the son of Hur, and Uri, they, Yahweh anointed them to have expertise in constructing items in the first tabernacle that he gave to Moses. But as we'll see, I'm going to skip forward, as we'll see that in the next chapter, we see that Yahweh also instructed someone, he anointed someone that had talent to help construct this temple. And we see the key thing is that he did a sacrifice. That's what stuck out in verse 6. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 6, it says, Solomon went up there to the bronze altar before Yahweh. That's the altar that we know when we look in the Exodus, when Yahweh was giving instructions on how to make the priestly garments and the tabernacle furnishings, the brazen altar. That's where the sacrifices are offered to Yahweh. And it says that Solomon went up there before Yahweh at the tent of meeting and offered 1,000 burnt offerings on. If I'm not mistaken, 1,000, I don't know what my notes are for that. I think that's like the tub. I think that's like how the tub is 22. I think the tub could be 400. I'm going off the top of my head because I don't have those notes. But I think tub 200 or 400, but I was trying to see like the 2000s, and then all of a sudden it also took me where I learned from my Hebrew instructor, Ahabel and Yaka'el, that you just take the zeros off, that's a one there, and that one represents the what? The first alphabet of the owl, which is the ox, the strength and the strong. So that made me see that Yahweh, that sacrifice from Solomon. Like Solomon just poured out, he could have just gave one. Two, 10 is noted in the scriptures that other kings gave sacrifices too when they was restoring the temple, rebuilding for Yahweh. I think, if I'm not mistaken, then kings, first king, second king, apologize, but as a king called Hezekiah, when he was getting things back in order, he did numerous sacrifices just before the Passover. I think before the Passover, during the Passover time, when he was trying to restore the temple of Yahweh. Apologize. And by doing that sacrifice, Yahweh appeared to Solomon, and he asked him, "What you want me to give you?" I thought that was honorable that Yahweh appeared to him. So the same way Yahweh appeared to Solomon, asked him after he sacrificed, he will appear to us too, but we have to make the sacrifice. We have to make the first step. And what I mean by that, what came to my mind was in the garden, as our Rabbi Yaakov always tell us, go back to the garden. I said, what do you mean go back to the garden? When the first occurrence of hearing a sacrifice, I never heard of a sacrifice in the Torah books. I'll take that back. I have read accounts of the sacrifice in other books. But the Torah books, the first account of a sacrifice I heard was, and I'm similar also with that was Cain and Abel. And it said Cain was a dweller of the field, and Abel was a herdsman, a dweller of the sheep. And Abel brought Yahweh the finest of his offering. That's why I said, would it matter to have a 10, 100? Solomon could have gave 10, 100, but he gave us 1,000. And so the same way with, matter of fact, let me read that. Let me go back to that real quick. I want to see something since it came up. Bear with me, family. I'm going to go to Genesis chapter. I think that's chapter 4. Time is up, 26. Hey, whoever did that last week, that was on point. I like that. But I'm gonna give me a little time from tomorrow, like a little cooking time or something. I used to have a long time ago. I used to be married and be like a little chef in the house. Give me a little time, because that music came on like a key, and that made me like, and it made me like, all right, wrap it up. Put them 4 pages away. You only got a couple more minutes before 1 o'clock. It's appropriate to do the closing prayer. You open with a prayer. So that music last week, it keyed me in, so I'm going to give me a little time. All right, let me go to Genesis. Appreciate whoever did that. That was nice. I wasn't offended at all. Whoever should know me by now, ain't nothing you really can do to offend me. I'm the youngest of 7. I roll off my back like water off a duck or a fish or whatever. Okay, Genesis chapter 4, verse 3, it says, chapter 4, verse 1. Genesis, the first book in the Bible. Verse 1, it said, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from Yahweh. And it's funny, that's something just stuck out to me, because when you look at that, it's a capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. So they knew Yahweh's name back then in the garden. That would be appropriate, you know, somebody say they're your father and they made you and they come to talk to you every evening at sunset, a cool evening, it never dawned on you, say, excuse me, what is your name? Well, who are you? I'm sure he told them, just like he appears to the prophets over the time, he said, it is me, The Lord your God is me, Yahweh, the God of your father, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the God, the Holy One of Israel. I just thought that set out when I saw that. All the time I never read that, never paid attention to that. And she again, verse 2, she again bare his brother Abel. Abel was a keeper of sheep. And Cain was a tiller of the ground. In the process of time to pass, that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto Yahweh. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of fat thereof. And Yahweh had respect unto Abel and to his offering. And then, and so that's the verse that came to my mind when I read this, when I was reading the Chronicles, Second Chronicles, chapter 1, verse 6. The respect, Yahweh showed the favor to that, the respect that what Abel brought, as Genesis 4:4 said. And then verse 5, though, it said, but unto Cain, to his offering, he had no not respect. And Cain was very wroth from his countenance. In verse 6, and Yahweh said unto Cain, why is thou wroth? And why is thou countenance fallen? Like Yahweh didn't know, Yahweh know. But he wanted to see, just like when he asked their father years before they were born. And he said, Adam, where are you? These people out here really think that God didn't know where Adam was at. Yes, people say, see, God don't know. Oh, he knew where Adam was at. He made him. Most people, well, nowadays, I don't know. Well, they might need to bring that back. When I came up, well, my parents always knew where we was at. There wasn't no cell phone because it was your business to make sure you told them where they was at. You're not going to be there. You better call and say where you at and where you going to. Then they used to come on the TV. It was 11 o'clock, 10 o'clock, you know where your children are. They might need to bring that on around starting about 6:30 in the evening. Way things is going buck wild now. Since some parents, you know, so caught up in, you know, in the cares of their life that they forget that they got a child out there, and a young teenage child is vulnerable to all things that can go on. But getting back to what that, Yahweh knew where Adam and Eve was at. So right here, Yahweh asking him, verse 6 in Genesis 4:6, why thou countenance fallen? If thou does well, should thou not be accepted? And if thou does not well, sin lieth at the door, and to thee should be his desire, and thou shalt rule over thee. So what we can see right here, the reason why I went there, because when I saw 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 1, 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 6, when it said Solomon offered up 1,000 of the burnt offerings. And when I thought that we know what the burnt offerings is, Brother Jeriel brought out so eloquently, back on the seventh day of Feast of Unleavened Bread and on his teachings, that's giving yourself holy. Matter of fact, he brought that out on a Sabbath evening too, because he had to teach that Sabbath, that Friday before the seventh day, the last day of Feast of Unleavened Bread. Yep. Nice lesson. And he said it was one of his old lessons that had archived. And how he broke down like the burnt offering. We know the burnt offering is like giving your whole. And we know that points to, that's a shadow of Yahshua giving his whole life up on that stake. For listening to this, we say stake, but teaching purposes, I'll say a cross, because that's how you've been taught over the years. But some things been translations mistranslated over the time. Just like you hear me say Yahweh, because God is just a title, or Lord is a title. But you'll hear me say Yahweh. That's why I brought out in Genesis chapter 4 in those verses, as we just read, that Eve, when she had verse 1, when she said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. That's capital L-O-R-D. That's Yo-Hey-Wah-Hey. That's the tetragrammaton. And then also you see it in verse 3. So Yahweh name been known, but then it came back on the surface, because you know how things get lost, like we see through in times in Israel, like certain kings, when they became the king, I think it was Josiah, he found the book of the Torah in the temple. I was like, man, they sound like they shot. That's supposed to stay in the temple. That's supposed to be in the front of the, I would imagine the Torah should be at the front of the temple, like how when you come in a, that's a bad analogy, but you'll get it. Yeah, no, that's a good. It was another good one. A couple of, like when you come into a restaurant, you got RSVP. Say, may I have your name, please? And they look in the book and say, yeah, you have a reservation. Stay, wait there, someone will have you see it. Or when you come into a wedding, I think weddings. I ain't been to a wedding. Yeah, I think weddings have a book. And well, funerals definitely. Funerals, you come in and sign. And you understand what I'm saying? So the door should have been right there in the hallway, on the porch when you walk up on the porch. But it wasn't the case. But just saying that, for instance, that the name got lost over the years. And that's why when Moshe came along in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14 to 17, said, who should I tell him to send you? And he tells him, he said, Air, Asher, Air. But we know when that's broken down, we know he said, tell him Yahweh, the God of your fathers. So as we see right here in Genesis 4, Yahweh's name always went known to his creation and his people. And that's why it's a time now that it needs to be reestablished and gets its precedence back. I met a young lady. She was a Jehovah's Witness, and just wasn't meant to be, but I thought that was going to be my wife. I was here at Beth Yahweh, and I hadn't met a woman since her that actually listened to, like, listen, when you're talking about the scriptures and stuff. And I said, whoa. She said, what you say? I'll go home and look. And sure enough, she'd go home and look. And I already knew, like, baby, y'all used to go around door to door with the book. Talking about, do you know the name of Yahweh? They knew the name of Yahweh. Well, she went and researched and looked and said, yup, I found it. And you're right. It is Yahweh. And I said, okay. And Yahshua said, but I think the time hasn't come yet. But when the time comes, Jehovah going to want people to know that name when the time has come. You're right, Rob. And I said, okay, Father God, work. Well, at least she researched. And last thing I wanted her to research was, she told me, what you doing Saturday? I said, I'm going to worship. And I was thinking about getting some crabs. I finally was getting ready to get invited over to her house, her apartment. And then, you know, I couldn't go anyway because it was a Saturday. She going to get some crabs. I said, nah, don't get no crabs, baby. Read these chapters right here, Beth, and go to Acts so nobody won't say that was Old Testament, that was Jew. And I got called for the job I'm at now, and I've been there for 12 years. And I'm going to tell you the truth. I didn't want the job because I wanted her. Some rappers can say all they want, talk about money over the women. I wanted her because she listened. Whatever I told her to read, I only sounded like a robot listening. She was smarter than me, but I'm smart. When it came to this word, she go, really, Robert? Where is that at? And write it down and get back with me and say, but what is this? I said, oh, I'm going to love this. Yeah, but wasn't meant to be. And hallelujah. But getting back, that name was lost. And as we see, it keep resurfacing, resurfacing, resurfacing. So we see now, like by Adam in Genesis 4, Abel in Genesis 4, in verse 4, he brought the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and Yahweh had respect unto it, but to Abel didn't. So it would maybe go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 7. verse 6 when it says Solomon gave up 1,000, and I thought about my Hebrew teacher when he said, knock them zeros off. He gave the best. That's Yahweh looked at it as the best. But while Yahweh know your heart and your intent, you can fake me out, Brother Shabbat, Brother Rob, like I tell him on the job. You can't fake God out. He know your intentions, why you doing it, and what's your intent behind it, your motives behind it. Like I tell him on the job, you can fake character to someone that don't have no integrity, don't have a drip of integrity. That's hard to do to somebody that got low integrity. Faking character can be fake. I'm like, Yahweh tell us in his word, don't be a man, please. I think it's in Colossians. This is in that other place. Don't just do stuff with somebody around or your boss around or whatever. You do it all the time. So why? Like I tell them, this is my part-time job. My full-time job when I teach for Yahweh. And when I tell somebody asks me something about the Bible here on the job, you see me on the side talking, you know, this is my part-time job right here. This is a source. I come to realize Yahweh, my resource. Excuse me. That job is my resource, one of the resources, many resources out here for someone to make a living. But Yahweh is my source, and I can't speak for no one else, but I'm going to share it with you. When you come to understanding that to the fully, not just in words, but in deed, also in actions, back and not just in talk, as Yahshua said, as the prophet Isaiah said, they worship me with their lips, but their mind is far away from me. They actions, like we just saying in Genesis chapter 4:4. Cain wasn't fully all the way committed. You understand what I'm saying? He was faking some good character traits for anyone. But when you realize Yahweh your source, you will have enough faith to step out and do things for Yahweh, like how Solomon did. And the people say, Solomon was rich, he had everything. He still didn't have to get 1,000 of those. Because remember, what did we hear earlier in the New Testament? What was it, Timothy? No, Yahshua said, what did he say? It is easy for a camel. No, excuse me. Yeah, it is easy for me to mess it up. It is easy for a camel to walk through an eye of a needle than a rich man. And Brother Shu Fuel, thank you for that, brother. I think he called me this week. It had to be last week. We both was busy. Apologize, brother. I ain't talked to you. Apologize. I ain't talked to a lot of our brothers this week. Or text. Maybe Michael Jackson, me on the job. Got me working day and night. But anyway, Shufuel brought that up. And the way he broke it down was right. Modern day, because he was talking about how growing up over in Trinidad, modern day, where he grew up, they ain't know nothing about no camel. I mean, they know about a camel. They ain't know about going through an eye of a needle and then being from a poor place, he said, you know. So they're like, huh? So when somebody came and said that, they like, yeah, okay. So people wasn't teaching with the authority of Yahshua, the authority of the way of the Most High, like, you know, knowing how to line the scriptures up. So and the way you look at the analogy, think about a camel carried everything. A camel was your SUV back then. You know what I mean? So was your donkey, but your camel was like your big excursion. Sequoia, you know, the big SUV. And if you went to a city that had an entranceway that looked like a needle, comparison to a needle to us, that camel can't get in if he got all this stuff stacked on top of him and his owner. So in order for that camel to get in, that camel, the owner would have to dismount, and also the camel would have to get down on his knees and four knees and try to crawl through. And some instances, a person, depending on how much they had, the rich young ruler comes to my mind, he would have to take some of that stuff, remove some of that stuff off that camel, if not all of it, so the camel can get through that gateway. And when Brother Sheffield shared it with me when I hung up later on, it made me see, like Yahweh said, like you said, to get into the kingdom of heaven. So those certain things in this world can hold you back. Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life. So you had to be willing, what you going to be willing to let go and sacrifice. But getting back to what I was saying, when you come to realize that Yahweh is your source, you know, your job and stuff, your resource. So if you have enough faith to believe in Yahweh, you can have faith. Your faith, trust me, he got you if something happened to your job. We have a living testimony amongst our congregation. I don't want to put the brother business out there. I just messed up and said brother, so you know it's a male. But I put that out there. Yeah, and people say, not really. Yeah, and Beth Yahweh, if I say it's a male. If I say a sister is a female, yeah, ain't none of that Beth Yahweh. After its kind. No, so it's like, it could be. It don't have to be a male. You can say that. You know, nowadays, no. Anyway, as in our congregation, a member, he can testify to what I'm saying too. Yeah, is it comfortable for him? As it was comfortable for me? Was it comfortable for me at the start? No. It took time for me to get more comfortable and more faith and go, oh, well, there it is. No, it just didn't pop up like, hey, it is what it is, hallelujah. Oh, no, it wasn't. I caught like the first 14 minutes of the brother while I was taking a shower. Brother Yariel, and I kind of caught something where he was saying, like, in his life, he would ask, why? I'm doing this. And And it's not easy, and that's all I'm recording. So I can't speak on that because he says a folly to speak on something. But I did catch the first 14 minutes. And I'll listen to that after I finish. Today, I will buy my breakfast. So that brother, though, I can truthfully say, he understands when I say this, and he could probably testify and say, that congregation member can say, yeah, that's true. But when it first starts, nah, you don't be like, yes, right. Hey, well, so what? I don't have a job. College. No, nah, come on. But as you build, you get stronger. You get stronger. And Yahweh right there with you, because he tell you, I never leave you nor forsake you. I like to say abandon. You know, different translations say that. He said, I never do that to you. And as time goes, see, that takes, you have to, as what we learned, you have to go through that or went through that to get the full understanding. See, I've been through that 18 months without, that congregation member been through that. See, if not, it's just a good pep talk or a talk. So I've been through that. And that brother going through, that congregation member going through that. But getting back, what I'm saying, it takes that first, the second Chronicle chapter 1:6, Solomon had to give that. He had to realize Yahweh is his source, right? Yahweh enables him. Without Yahweh, he wouldn't have the resources to give up 1,000 burnt offerings. That's what I'm getting, tying that into. So we had to realize these certain things we don't want to let go. It was a leather coat I didn't want to let go. And I thought about it. I said, man, a leather? All the levers you had since you've been grown? Because I was always deprived of a leather coat in my house because I'm the youngest. And my big brother could get levers. He working, had their money. And my father was like, you ain't getting no leather. You're growing. You're growing. Your teeth growing. Your feet growing. Everything. No, you ain't getting no leather here. And so, man, when I first got my own money and my own leather, I was 15. No, 16. I could drive. And I was getting levers all the time. And then it had to dawn on me. I'm like, and at this time in my life, it was a rough time in my life. I lost everything. Like I said, I ain't had nothing. I ain't, you know, lost my house, lost stuff. And so, and I had to laugh like, yo, you worrying about a leather, getting rid of a leather coat or this or a pair of shoes or something like, well, after what you, all that you was blessed to have at one time in your life, if you never give it back, got it back, you, Yahweh bless you to have it once. There's some people who never got to have it before. And I had to sit back and laugh and like, and I had to sit back and laugh. You lost cars, lost house, shelter. I said, a leather? But we get caught up in material things. We can get caught up. That's a pretty shoe. Man, that's a pretty leather coat. It's a pretty car. Nothing wrong with having those things, but don't let those things have you. Here's the difference. A lot of people say, well, like I had to share with somebody, and Brother Darewell made me think of that, because that's how I remember that. He called me one time and said, hey, I'm putting this lesson together. He said, what's that verse? I said, man, what you mean? He said, you know, I said, man, no, I don't. Yes, you do. I said, I'll get right with you. Proverbs 10:22 said, the blessing of Yahweh make it rich and added no sorrow. See, because people will come out of their mouth and get spiritual. I grew up in Christianity, spiritual church. They said, well, the Lord will make a way and all that. The Lord bless me with this. And as I got, you know, people don't like to hear the truth, but I had to, you know, I got sense of humor, and I said, I don't think, which Lord? You got to ask which Lord, because you know that's what we call the Lord then. But now I know the truth, who that Lord was, the Lord of this world, the God of this world, who kills, steals, and destroys. He don't want you to have abundant life. He wants you to have death. He wants you to be miserable, because why? What Proverbs tells us, Proverbs 23, I believe it is, the borrower is the servant to the lender. He likes that. He wants you to worship him. Romans 6:16. Whoever you obey, that's your father. That's your servant. So those material things can have us sometimes, trap us. If we don't be aware, do we really believe Yahweh got my daily bread? Matthew 6:33. Seek Yahweh in his kingdom first and all those other things shall be given to you. Yahweh knows everything we need, not what we want. He knows what we want too. We just read that in Genesis chapter 4. He knows those things. And we just read it in 1 Chronicles chapter chapter 1, verse 6. But he want to see how we are moved by those things. Those things have a hold on us. Are we willing to burn them up, bring them to the altar, a burnt offering? That's what he wants us to see. So you come a time, and hopefully I pray everyone, come a time in your life where you had to examine yourself and examine and go, did this really have me all the time? Maybe that's good. No, it didn't. Well, I didn't know it had me like that. Because we can deceive ourselves. Person to say, God bless me with this. Like I told a person, I said, hey, man. Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of Yahweh, make a rich as no sorrow. What you mean by that, brother? I was going to church dinner on Sunday. I was a good Christian. I don't think Yahweh blessed God. Well, he wasn't in Yahweh. He was always Yahweh, but I wasn't in the knowledge. Hallelujah. I'm still in the dark. I don't think he blessed you with that, and now you ain't coming to church. You ain't coming nowhere. You working three jobs and all that. I don't think that's a blessing from him. But see, coming from a dude that's driving a 1984 Dodge Caravan, was it Dodge Caravan? A Plymouth Voyager with the wood grain on the side. Yeah. In 2000, and this is 2003. That sound like what they call now, Ma, that he's hating or he's jealous. Nah, brother, I'm learning the scriptures and learning about Yahweh. And I don't think that's a blessing from Yahweh, where you ain't doing, you can't do anything for Yahweh. You can't tithe no more. Yahweh, you said it's a blessing. He bless you. You're not spending quality time with your family because of this material thing or item. But to each his own. But then also another scripture Yahweh gave me, the Psalms. Well, the temptation, the account of the temptation of Yahshua in the wilderness. And you say, hey, if you're the Son of God, you turn that. And then once he says that it's written, man can't live off of bread alone, but every word. Man, he knows Bible. So what do? He twists the Psalms 90, verse 11. Or the Psalm 91, verse 11. Oh, messed up. He said, well, if you're the Son of God, jump off of the cliff right here, and he'll send an angel to swoop up, catch you. Yahshua know that word. He said, nah, that's why it's important for us to stay in that word. Like he got our forefathers, Adam and Eve. You won't surely die. No, they didn't just drop dead when they ate the fruit. But they died. The clock began ticking. So did everything else. But the scriptures say when you go to that scripture, matter of fact, we're going to read that scripture in your hands, so I'm messed up. So this brother be saying stuff that's not even in the word. I don't know about them talking about the get taught the truth from their rabbi. Glad I did look that up. It's Psalm 91, probably. There it is. Psalm 91, verse 9. Psalm 91, verse 9 to 10. This is the scripture that Hasatan took and tried to twist on Yahshua, because why? When he's saying Yahshua hit him with, man can't live off of bread alone, that's coming from Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 8. So he's like, he's using Bible on me. So Psalms 91, verse 9 and 10 said, because you have made Yahweh your refuge and most high of your dwelling place, no evil shall happen to you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he will put his angels, here it is, verse 11, 91, verse 11. For he will put his angels in charge of you to guard you in all your ways. Verse 12, they will bear you up in their hands so that you won't dash your foot against a stone. And you will tread on a lion and a cobra. You will trample a young lion and a serpent on his foot. Hallelujah. Brother talked about that last week in Revelation chapter 12, I believe. I think I know I ain't dreaming. If not, it will be talked about. Hallelujah. So, in verse 15, you go down to that, he said, verse 14, going down to this, he said, because he has set his love on me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. I will satisfy him with long life and show him my salvation. So since we said that, I'm going to go to what I told you, the count. think it was in Matthew. It's in Matthew and Luke. So temptation of the wilderness, Yahshua. And said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written. This is Matthew chapter 4, verse 6. And it's also, I like sometimes how different ones, but it's also found in Luke chapter 4, 10 and 11. We're going to read Matthew 4, 6. It says, Satan said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written. See why he coming with the scripture? Because Yahshua hit him just before that, remember? It is written, man can't live off of bread alone. He hit him with Deuteronomy 4. So now we look at Hathas. See how cunning he is? That's what it said. He was more subtle. That word subtle, I think Abel broke that down, Rabbi, this summer. It was beautiful breaking it down. Because that word subtle, man, that animal was very smart. Because you ask yourself, what I got out of it, why did he talk to that animal if he was a snake? He was wise. He had wisdom, so it was okay to talk to him. But why? He was only one of the only animals at that time, because we know a donkey, Yahweh allowed a donkey to talk in English dialogue to Balaam that time. But at this time in the garden, no donkey was talking. Nobody was talking. This snake could talk. So therefore, that's why if you look at the account, that's why it says he was subtle. That's why she was talking to him. Because why? He could talk, and he was knowledgeable, and he was wise. But he had been infiltrated by the spirit of Hasatan. So she thinking this is the same nice Mr. Serpent, Mr. Snakey, Mr. Snake. But that was the serpent there that she had no knowing about, because Yahweh hadn't probably talked to them about the serpent yet. I'm just saying that. Not written in stone. Matthew 4:6. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you on their hands. And they will bear you up so that you don't dash your foot against a stone. We're going to close that. So did it say that? No, it didn't. Psalm 91:11. We just read it. Psalm 91:11. What it said. 11 and 12. It said, for he will put his angel charge you to guard you all your way, that you bear you up in your hand so that you won't dash your foot against a stone. So, but what it said, though, you had to start off all the way up at the beginning. Because you, verse 9, you have made Yahweh your refuge and your Most High, no evil. So that's why Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of Yahweh, make it rich and add no sorrow. So when a person says, Yahweh bless me with this or whatever, I don't think you missing church, missing time around your family, not praying, returning your tithe to Yahweh, ask you. I don't think that's, ain't no I don't think, I'm keeping it real. That's not a blessing from Yahweh. That's a blessing from the God of this world, as we just say. You get a chance, read through the account. Luke, when I tell you Luke 11 and Matthew 4, the account of Yahshua in the wilderness. So that's why that comes in play when he said, can't tempt the Lord thy God. You can't tempt, don't tempt him. See, so people have, you know, people always give credit to the devil made me do it, like Flip Wilson when I was growing up little. Nah, devil gave you an idea, he whispered, but you did it. You did it. Yahweh know that the devil tried, the devil whispered and told you, why all good gifts come from Yahweh. Don't James tell us that? That's why it behooves us to stay in that tour. All right, let's get back to Chronicles. Just, meant to go that way, but since it came, that's just your brother. I apologize. Got to get out of that. It's a bad habit, but I don't like to leave people hanging. Something comes to my mind. Chronicles. I'm going back to Chronicles, and then we're going to time it. Okay. Am I spelling Chronicles right? And so, left off with how Solomon, by him doing that, Yahweh came to him in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 7, and he asked him, because of that 1,000 burnt offerings, he gave his best. And Yahweh knew his heart and his intention. And he said, you have shown great love. And Yahweh appeared to him. So what I'm trying to say to us, listening audience, Beth Yahweh, let's make sure our sacrifices are pure. Let's make sure our hearts are pure and cleansed. Because remember, we are the temple now. So we're not offering a 1,000 burnt offerings or one good burnt offering like at the process of time at Genesis chapter 4, that it said that Abel did and Cain did. Remember daily, Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, we are living sacrifices. Remember, our bodies, what is 2 Corinthians chapter 6 or 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, 20. Our bodies is a living temple now where that Holy Spirit dwells. So let's make sure we always purge our motives right, our mind right, and we don't just say things out of lip service, out of our tongue, but we say them because, and I learned something. Something came to my mind reading this. Because when I was little, I was told, if you don't have nothing nice to say or you don't know what to say, keep your mouth shut. Yes, Grandma. Kind of reminded me of what Matthew 6, when it said they offer prayers out on the street corners, just mumbling, saying prayers. Why? Because why? It's appearance of looking good. Remember, they fake it, that character, but no integrity, no goodness behind that. Man pleases. So we're going to go down to I stopped off at verse 10 in 2 Chronicles chapter 1:10 before I went back. Now give me wisdom, because this was Solomon asked for. But Yahweh asked him, what you want? What do you want? And he said, give me wisdom. Because he acknowledged, you made me king over all these people, that's the multitude of the dust. Now give me wisdom and knowledge, that's verse 10, that I may go and come before this people, for who can judge this great people? And God said to him, verse 11, because this was in your heart, and you have not asked riches, wealth, honor. Does that sound familiar, family? Do that sound like, apologize for stopping and going, but every time something come up, my mind just works like this. I think it's what? 2 John chapter 1, verse 15. Well, ain't no thing. We going to go there. 1 John, the letter 1 John, chapter 2, verse 15. I want to see something. I didn't say that. So I said 1 John, chapter 2. 1 John, chapter 2, verse 15 says, okay, hallelujah. Don't love the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the Father love isn't in him. Verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life isn't the Father's, but is the world. The world is passing away with his lust, but he who does God's will remains forever. Hallelujah. Little children, these are the end times, and as you heard that the anti-Mashiach is coming. Even now, many anti-Mashiach has arisen. Hallelujah. By this, we know that it is the final hour. Okay. So you saying, why did you say that? Because what we just read in 2 Chronicles, chapter 1, verse 11, Yahweh said this, didn't he? He said, because in your heart, and you have not asked for riches, and we just say lust of the world, pride of life, wealth and honor of life. Nor you ask for longevity, but have asked for wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people and over whom I made you king. Verse 12, Yahweh granted, therefore wisdom and knowledge is granted to you. I will give you riches, wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had been before you, none after you will have. So Solomon came, verse 13, from the high place that was at Gibeon, before the tent of the meeting in Jerusalem, and he reigned over Israel. Solomon gathered chariots and horsemen. He had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen he placed in the chariot cities and within the king of Jerusalem. Okay, so we're going to stop right there. That's all. We're going to read out of 2 Chronicles chapter 1. And also, I should have stopped on my mindset. Something I just read, he said, therefore, the wisdom, verse 12, I give you riches. Oh, that Second Chronicles chapter 1, verse 12 kind of echoes what? Matthew chapter 6, 33. Seek Yahweh in his kingdom and his righteousness first, and all those other things we'd be added. Yahweh know we need shelter, family. Yahweh know we need, for some, me, I'm blessed where I live. I'm looking out the window now. I live a minute, I count. Next time I'll count the steps. I live a minute and a half from the bus stop, one of the bus stops to get me to work. So I thank Yahweh for that. I don't need a vehicle at this point. Yahweh blessed us with a place of worship. Then I'll pray to Yahweh. Because, see, I'm using this formula. See, this is a new year for me. I started the new year off. First would be cleansing my temple, because this is the temple where it's at, and what kind of sacrifices I'm offering, and what kind of things I'm giving up. So I'm saying, what can I do without? What can I minimize? What can I, delete? And so when Yahweh blessed Yahweh with a place of worship, and wherever his location at, by me being official, I have to be at places prompt, on time, on call. Because, man, I said, I can't talk and don't back it up, as my father would say. Well, shut your mouth. I'm going to need a vehicle to have me at places and locations. Because, like I said, this is my real job. That job I go to, and for those who are listening, I'm not proud of it. But it's better, because the first of the year changed a lot. Because, like I said, I'm working for Yahweh, so I gotta be on time in my job. When I had arthritis, I stopped being on time because my time is different now because I'm slower because I got arthritis in my wrist, my dominant hand. But so time I used to get up, I can't get up like that. Gotta get up earlier. Yep. And by me not having my own vehicle, yes, I have to get up earlier so I can catch that Maryland Transit. So yes, no longer be late for worship and no longer be late. No longer be late for work also. Got to get back to the old ways, the old path. No excuses. I just got to do it. And I know what to do it because of my life, the experiences in my life coming up before I even came this way. I'm a problem solver. I look at ways to solve problems. I don't look at ways to talk about them and whatever. My mindset is that's how we can solve this and pick more than one way. Pick plan E, because you know how your life is. My life plan A, B, C, D don't work, so I had to have many of different plans. But I'm a problem solver. So we see Yahweh in his kingdom, his righteousness first, all those things to come. Now the next chapter, we're going to go from there because the way he showed me this thing. Oh, verse 2, 2 Chronicles chapter 2. That's the next page over on your Bible or scroll up on your phone. It said, now Solomon decided to build the house for Yahweh's name and the house for his kingdom. So he had to make a decision there. Let me look this word up in the Hebrew. Well, in the Hebrew, because that was the W-E-B I'm reading up. In the Hebrew it said, what is it in my C-J-D? CGB, I don't even say that. We're going to go to King James. And Solomon determined to build a house for Yahweh. That word determined is 559 Amar in the Hebrew. To say, to speak, to answer, to say in one's heart. We know that word heart is your mind. To think. To think, to command, to promise, to intend, to be said, to be called, to avouch. In ancient Hebrew literature, a continuation of segments which fill the whole. It's the mem and the lamed. Let me see another definition. As one full of authority. First fruits in the sense of a great feeling. That's probably why I would look for that. Okay. So right there, he determined to do that, to build a house for Yahweh in the name of Yahweh. And Solomon, okay, so let's skip that. Okay, I see how my CJV Bible do. That's still in verse 1. That's still in chapter 1. That's why when I look at chapter 2. Yeah. So Solomon then decided, okay, sort of like my WEB said, right, decided, okay, cool. And then, so now Solomon goes, you know, so it comes to think, everything starts in a thought, right? So, well, how you figure? Genesis chapter 1:26 says, let us make man in our image. So Yahweh what? Yahweh determined. He decided. It said, Tim Elohim, Yahweh, Yahweh Elohim, let us make man in our image. So, okay, let's do it. So it was a process. And then what we learn about Proverbs, what, Proverbs 18:23? I don't even know why I'd be guessing. I got the smartphone pull stuff up quick. You know, instead of going, thank you, so I don't mess it up. Proverbs 18:21, it says, excuse me, Proverbs 18:20, it starts. It says, a man's stomach is filled with the fruit of his mouth, with the harvest of his lips. He is satisfied. Verse 21, death and life are in the power of his tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruits. So we see how that process works. Everything you pronounce, it doesn't come to fruition because you have to be, it had to be accordance with Yahweh's will. Because yes, it is a scripture in 1 John. It says, anything we, those who believe and in the light, anything you pray for in the name of Yahushua, it should be given to you. But it also has to line up in accordance with, it is within his ordained will and at his moed time for the things that he's working on. Because a lot of things I ask, I know the correct name. Hey, Yahshua, it didn't come to pass as now presently, but who knows, they may come to pass later. A lot of things I have received now that I asked Yahweh 4, 5, 6, 7 years ago pertaining to understanding his word. But I have learned as I matured and had to walk and sit under my spiritual leader, Rabbi Yaakov, that I look back and laugh. I wasn't even ready for that revelation. Because I'm supposed to be winning souls and fishermen, supposed to be drawing people to you. I'd have lost people because it had been too much for them. And me trying to explain it, I wasn't ready. Now I get stuff now. I can decipher it better and know how to, like, my job is, Brother Darewell brought out eloquently like last summer. Our job as a teacher and a priest is to take the word and dispense it amongst the people so they can chew it and nurture them so they can get nurtured. If they're not getting nurtured or fed, my job is I'm ill and bored. I just got a title. And I'll never want to be like that. So that's why I apologize when I teach. I might go here, over there, back there. He's like, come on, man, he was right here. Cause I want to make sure I find the right food, the ingredients, so this meal, you can add this meal and get the right substance and get every nutrients and minerals you can to make you healthy, strong believer. So I apologize. Going back to 2 Chronicles chapter 2. What time is it? Don't play the music yet. Don't play it yet. I mean, unless you want to, unless y'all wait till the Holy Spirit, like, cut them off, play it now. 2 Chronicles chapter 2. Okay, and we just read how he decided, Solomon decided. But see, we also, we got to remember something in this. When we go back to 1 Chronicles, Yahweh asked him, so what? He decided now what? The wisdom. Because remember this month, Ziv, that we in, think that's first. Ain't no think that's first king. We going to find, I'm going to tell you. We tripping. All I'm going to do is slow down. 1 Kings chapter 6. In the 480th year after the children of Israel had came out of the land of Mizraim, Egypt, double straight, hallelujah, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, Yohewale. That's the dollar, ain't it? Aleph, Bet, Gimel, dollar. Hallelujah, that's a door. And I'm just thinking, coming to my mind, he relevant. In the month of Ziv, that's the second month that we're in right now, which is the second month he began to build Yahweh's house. The house which King Solomon built for Yahweh has a length of 60 cubits and its width 20 and its height 30 cubits. And the porch, verse 3, in the front of the temple of the house had a length of 20 cubits, which was along the width of the house, 10 cubits with the width of the front. So what came, what? That's He builds it. He moves when Yahweh say he moves. Even though it said we read in Second Chronicles chapter two verse one that he determined. We know when you been spirit filled, spirit led, Yahweh determined. You say, well, you got anything to prove that, Shabel? Yeah, I got something to prove that. Yeah, dude. I was studying that last month. Yeah, I don't know where that lesson around here too. I'm getting in order this year too. I got a lot of stuff written on paper. It's on paper, but I mean, I'm gonna start buying me a bunch of notebooks. This come, this stand in this notebook. This come, this go in this section of the notebook. I got stuff with another lesson that shouldn't be in that lesson, but when it comes to my mind, because I'm studying that lesson. But anyway, you said, how can you show a determined? Saul, remember the first king of Israel? Saul, from the tribe of Benjamin. Saul didn't get that from Yahweh. He said, get what? You hear what I'm saying? Saul supposed to wait. Who supposed to get a sacrifice to the Most High? Even though you just read First Chronicles chapter 1, verse 7, 6, that Solomon offered 1,000. Solomon didn't put them up on there himself, though. He said, how you know that? Because as Bible students at Beth Yahweh, we know Yahweh has an order, and the priest did those things. That was a priestly job. Even though it didn't come out and say that, but, yeah. Solomon didn't stand there and just like, could he have done that? Would that have been wrong? Would that be allowed under Yahweh permissible will? Well, we know accounts that it's the king, but then it's the priest. It's the king, the king's prophet, and the priest. And we see that through, we get that line of transmission. We see that earlier in the book of Exodus. Why? He said, I'm going to make, earn your mouthpiece, earn your prophet, and you're going to be God to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh at the time was the king. So we can see how Yahweh works. But while you saw, because while Saul posed and waited on Samuel, and Saul moved on his own accord, and Saul offered offerings. But he didn't supposed to do that. It was another king. Now my works like this. It's going to be in the book of Kings, and it's going to be in the book of Chronicles too. Uzziah, not the gentleman that touched the ark in the, you know, for touching the ark when the ark was stumbling off of that cart that it didn't belong on. I think that's in Second Chronicles chapter 6, First Chronicles chapter 6. But it was a king, and he started offering. I think he went and started burning the incense, if I'm not mistaken. I apologize for not pulling that one up. But on your time, find that. That's the Holy Spirit. And the priest told him, what are you doing? Get out of there. You're not supposed to do that. And he started off a good king, because you read about his accounts. He was a good king, but he went out of line, out of bounds. And what happened with him, he became a leprous, as anybody remember, the rest of his life. So Solomon didn't just say, yeah, I'm going to build that second month, this, I'm doing it. He waited on Yahweh, and that's what we wait on Yahweh. Hear me out clearly. But when Yahweh say move, we supposed to move. He said, well, hold up now, that's contradictory. Said, no, I'm not. Where did I get that from? Remember in Numbers chapter 13, it was some spies from each tribe. So what was that? Two from each tribe, I believe it was. Was 24 of them or 12? And they, because they was under the what? The leadership of who? Yahshua. Remember the brother taught an eloquent lesson back on the second day, last day, seventh day of Feast of Unleavened Bread. He came out of Joshua chapter 5, Joshua chapter 6. They weren't spied out the land. And only two came back with a good report. You remember who it was? It was Hosea, which his name got changed to Yahushua. That's how he became the leader. That's who took over for Moses. And another brother named Caleb. They said, we can do it. I know they did, but we can do it. Because they remember what? The things that Yahweh, the exploits that Yahweh enabled Israel to do. They remembered the things, the miracles, the things that Yahweh did for their ancestors. And they were little. Their ancestors coming out of Egypt. They remember these things. So it's nothing too hard for Yahweh. But the others said no, so they wouldn't go. They remember the count when they went up without the accord of consulting with the King Joshua, so he could consult to the priest and go to the tent of meeting and consult the Yahweh to go. They went up, and what happened? They got slaughtered. So that's what I mean. Yeah, you wait on them, but now you also, when he says move, you got to move. That's where your faith come in. Okay, so that was 2 Chronicles chapter 2. I was in something I wanted to house. Oh, I think that was the verse that stuck out while I was reading. 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 4 said, "Behold, I will build a house in the name." Yahweh, my Elohim, to dedicate it to him, to burn before him sweet incense for the continual showbread, for the burnt offerings in the morning and evening, on the Sabbaths and on the new moons, and on the solemn feast. Yahweh, Almighty One, this is an ordinance forever to Israel. So right there, it's important that Israel, the believers of Israel, should have a place of honor to the Most High. Because he said this is an ordinance forever. So you say, Shabbat, how you, but now, go ahead there, because that's how my mind worked. What came to my mind was this, Hebrews. You can stay there and read in your head. Oh, Hebrews chapter 10. That's a New Testament book for those who follow it, but you don't have to if you don't want to. I should have said it in the beginning, but you know, you should have your Bible. If you have no other utensils, you should have your Bible. This is Bible study, right? When you go look at TV, you have what? Well, nowadays, you got to have a lot of things. Before, all you had to have was a remote control. Now, you got to have a remote control, a fog stick. I'm not tech savvy. I guess you don't need a cable stick or a cable control or Wi-Fi control. But you got to have, you understand what I'm trying to say. You have appropriate items. When you barbecue on your out back, cookout, you don't put that stuff on there and turn this hot stuff over with your fingertips. You got your utensils. Come on, Bible study, Bible utensils. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says, we will start at verse 23. Verse 21. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. That's a New Testament book. That's found in the New Testament. Should be at the book of James, not in this Bible when they found out the book of James. Probably not. Hebrews is a New Testament book, and it's found before the book of James and after the book of Philemon. Hallelujah. And it reads this, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. It says, "Let us draw near with a true mind." It's a heart, but we know that word heart means mind, because heart is just a muscle that pumps the blood through your body. It helps a major organ of your body. One of the major organs of your body to keep you alive. "And full assurance of faith, having our minds sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise." That's in the parentheses. "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." Remember Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, I think the brother read, or 23 last week, where it said there's no law to that, the fruit of the Spirit. When you walk, there's no law to that. So here's it. Verse 25, here you go. "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." So I read that to go correspond with the having a place of worship. Yes, when we come together, two or more together, God, we in our midst. Yes, I'm well aware of that. But just to coincide with the Second Chronicles that I've read, verse, I think it was 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 4, when Solomon was declaring and saying these things. So ordinance forever. Verse 5, and the house which I build is great, for great is the God of all of us. Verse 6, but who is able to build him a house, seeing heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain him? Who am I then that I should build him a house, save only the burnt sacrifices before him? Send me therefore a man. See, so we can also tie this back into verse Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, 27, when Yahweh determines of the Elohim said, let us make a man. See, now we know we're moving into times. There's no temple. This temple right here is destroyed that Solomon talked about, first temple. So, and the temple 70 AD on Yahshua, when he told them that temple going to be destroyed. So we see it all goes back to like Abraham looking for a city that man's hand didn't create, that Yahweh created. That Yahweh created the temple, what? When he made the first man, instructed the first man, when he made him, he said, let us make man in our image. Because why? He just asked Solomon, who can make a temple that hold Yahweh? Because why? He made our bodies to hold a part of that Holy Spirit of him. a temple of our bodies is the temple, the living temple for him. Verse 7, now Solomon now is asking, like how, remember we read in 1 Chronicles chapter 1, when he said, Benzel and Uri, they were the anointed ones that Yahweh sent to Moshe to build the tabernacle. Well, you'll find that all that starts in like Exodus 25. So now Solomon is following the same transmission format. In verse 7 right here, 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 7, he said, send me therefore man cunning to work in the gold and the silver and the brass and the iron and the purple and chrysum and the blue, that can skill to the grave with the cunning men that are with me in Judah and Jerusalem, whom David my father did provide. And we go down to verse 9, even to prepare me the timber in abundance for the house which I'm about to build shall be wonderful and great. So we see that Solomon is asking for the guidance, and he's asking for what? Good counsel. So that being said, as Beth Yahweh, as we praying to Yahweh for a place of work, for his future place of worship, because Beth Yahweh has places of worship before, not the first. That's why it's so eager. Some of us are so eager or whatever, or wondering, but we still have to remain faithful. And then we still had to be in position to be ready when the opportunity, when Yahweh opens the door for it to be received, we had to be prepared. It's just like Yahweh prepared them to have the furnace, the stuff for the first tabernacle. He said, how? Remember he told Moshe when he met him in Exodus 3, I believe, 4 or 5, he said, when you leave out, he told him the ending from the beginning. And on that day, when you leave out, you're going to get substance from Egypt. They're going to give you linen, gold, jewelry. Each person get an article. And when you fast forward, when they left out, they did leave with that. And it all goes back to, like we showed, the bounty, the spoils, when another nation takes over another nation, you have these spoils. And so they left out. So what we have to do now, they say the wealth is in Proverbs. Apologize, I just came to me. The wealth of the righteous is laid, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. So therefore, some of the wealth that we're coming along, when I say wealth, the wealth that we're coming along, say, ain't nobody wealthy like Solomon. What I mean by wealth like Solomon, we're not poor. You say, I'm poor, okay. This is what I mean, we're not poor. I'm sitting in a dining room. I'm sitting in a house, a sheltered house, a house. Got four walls and a roof and stuff. Thank Yahweh, I went to sleep on a bed. Woke up, took a shower, running water. We'll be able to eat when this is over, thank Yahweh. And I'm teaching on the phone, thank Yahweh. Sitting at a dining room table, looking out a window. I don't have a vehicle, but I used to have a vehicle, and I can afford a vehicle. I could get a vehicle if I choose. It may not be the vehicle that I want, but I could get a vehicle. I'm going to make that clear, too. Give Yahweh all his praise and glory. He blessed me where I can go purchase a vehicle. Well, not today because it's Sabbath. I can, but I choose not to. But tomorrow or Monday. Poor people don't have those things I just stated. So at Beth Yahweh, we're blessed. We're not poor. Because some of my brothers and sisters got cars with an S, mean more than one, home, I left out. This is my year. I will buy some clothes because I hadn't been buying myself some clothes. Of course, I buy shoes because I walk a lot. But this is my year to get some more clothes too. More than one. Right now, I got more than one pair of pants and more than one shirt. And I'm blessed to got. I can get ready, wash, and fold up and put away those sweaters with an S, and bring out short sleeve stuff because the weather is changing here in Baltimore, Maryland. And you follow where I'm coming at. We got more than one outfit to change on, more than one pair of shoes. Poor people don't have those things. So be mindful when you say we're poor. We're not poor. We might be a little poor in spirit at times. We get down the dumps, but we got Yahshua and his Torah to uplift us. Like David said, we got to encourage ourselves sometimes with this word. Encourage one another. As Beth Yahweh, your brother come on your mind, a sister come on your mind, call them or text them now. But far as we're poor, no, I'm not accepting that. None of us at Beth Yahweh. I may be the poorest brother. Well, I'm not putting nobody out there. I'm one of the poor. But we still got those items that I mentioned, and we poor. So we're not poor. Now I want to go to chapter 4. What time is it? Oh, I don't have that phone. I say, Siri, what time is it? Hey, come on, stop playing. You got a word to do. All right, chapter 3. We're going to go to chapter 3. Second Chronicles, chapter 3. Then Solomon began to build a house of Yahweh at Jerusalem. Now, mind you, Yahweh set them these people, you know, because he asked. And the king of Tyre, Herod, he's going to help them get the cedar like he helped David. So we can learn from these things, like what resources that we have from our source, Yahweh, what resource that he put in our line that we can kind of link up with these resources. But we have to be mindful of Beth Yahweh that we have to stay accordance within the lines of the Torah. We don't go do that burnt offering like King Saul did. That's not Or we don't burn them incenses that King did and got the leprosy, and the priest told me I'm supposed to do that. We don't take and move the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh on a cart, as Rabbi broke out so eloquently at that Feast of Tabernacle that year. Carts are us. You go down to Carts are us and get a good cart. No, that's good, but you carry something else, but not the Tabernacle of Yahweh, because he gave instructions starting from Exodus chapter 25 to Moshe to handle those things, because those things point, they was a shadow and pointing to who? The body. Pointing to the Most High, Yahushua, and Yahushua. It was a way that he wanted them to be done. You know, we know how Proverbs 6, I know you get tired of hearing me say, the way they're seen, right? The way seems unto death. So we had to be mindful with the sources, because I know there may be a lot of unlimited resources out there, but those resources had to be within the boundaries of our walk of life and our way of living in accordance to being lawful to Yahweh. Say Yahweh. Paul tells you there's a lot of things expedient for me to do, and I got the liberty to do them, but I don't do them. So there's a lot of things out here in the world. Like people used to tell me one time, used to ride had a van. I told you about the van when I first came to Maryland. I was a good Christian. My
back window of my Caravan 1984 wood grain Caravan got broken. I rode around with plastic. And a brother came up to me one day and said, "Hey, man, you know you can go to Crazy Ray's and get a back window. I said, "I can't." He said, "Why can't you?" I said, "Because I only make $5.15 an hour." It was minimum wage back then. Yeah, back in 2002, coming off from the Army. That's what I made. A veteran of the United, disabled veteran of the United States Army. But anyway, and brother said, "What you mean you can't? You go to work. I see you go to work every day." I said, "I was working on Saturday then because I didn't know. I thought Sunday was the Sabbath, being a good Christian." But anyway, and I had bills to pay, prior debts that I'm trying to come out of, because Proverbs, Psalms 37, 21 and 23 say the righteous, I've been old, I've been young, I've never seen a righteous seed forsaken or begging bread, so that's why I try to live righteous, so that maybe my son can have a good life. It ain't no maybe. Yahweh has been blessing my son, and he has been that. So I can stand, I may not have the things of the finest thing, but I can say, hey, you be honorable and live for Yahweh, like I keep telling my son. You getting them things, yeah, you want the school and all that, but Yahweh doing that because I pray for you every day, and I try to live faithful as much as I can every day, abiding by his laws, commandments, and statutes, not the ways of the world. The way that look right is a way that seem right, but lead to death. The brother told me, "What you mean?" I said, "Because I pay my bills and buy my food and lunch. I got to return my tithes." "Oh, man, God don't need your money. He don't need no tithes." Now, I could have said, "Yeah, he right. Let me go down to Crazy Ray and get me a back window." Nah. I couldn't do it. I could have done it, but like Paul said, it's liberty. I could do a lot of things, but I choose not to do that. Oh, did the window ever get fixed? No. No, it didn't. Wintertime came upon me. Did Yahweh bless me and go, "He's been faithful"? Like I caught the first 14 minutes of Yahweh lesson, and I caught right when he said, I be trying to do right. I don't know where he going with that, but I kind of laugh. Tell my man, I can't even get a window. Now that's Satan coming in. Like, yeah, look at that. You're working $5.15 an hour. The young boy came up and told you, do some work for you. I said, no, I can't do that work, young man. Change man, man of God. Man, I can get a window. Yahweh don't care. Nah, I couldn't do that. And what happened? Eventually I lost the vehicle anyway. Well, something happened to the vehicle. Oh, the vehicle got hit. It was total. And yeah, vehicle was gone. Never got the back window, but I kept returning my tide. Did I get a vehicle out of that? Nope. I kept turning my tide, returning my tide, because I said, hey, whether he give me something or not, Satan. Now I had to realize, like, that's you. Whether he gave me something or not. Hey, that was my Job moment when Yahweh was like, "I'm gonna see. You say, I bet you if you take that little raggedy van, he loved that little caravan. I bet you he. Nah. Try my service. I was robbed. Well, I was shot by L then, didn't even know it. My brother Rob. And that's what happened. What happened though years later? Went from $5.15, $17.75. By 1 year old, never had a car that new in my life. 2006, I bought a 2005 Toyota Corolla. Fat. Yahweh blessing me, right, did he? Ah-ha-ha. Proverbs 10:22. That's when I came across and learned that. Ooh, Yahweh blessing me? Brothers came down and taught, did a tag team. Two brothers from Pennsylvania taught at my Seventh-day Adventist church about tithing. Left there that Saturday and called them up that Monday and said, "Come and get it. Toyota, you can come and get your car." Because how Yahweh blessed me with that Toyota, and I can't return his tithe that I've been doing when I had a raggedy 1984 Caravan with no window in it, making $5.15 an hour. Now I'm making $17.75 with a Toyota Corolla, getting paid every week, and I can't return my tithe because why? My car paid me because I had bad credit. Bad credit. That's a joke. My credit now was bad, and my car payment was $354, and my insurance was $205, and I had a nerd that had a traveler's insurance with the rear umbrella. Toyota don't care about me, and Yahweh only asked for 10% of my pay. Return it at that. Travelers Insurance ain't had me insured if I had missed one of them 205 insurance payments. Yahweh was my insurance. So I had to tell them, come on and get your Toyota. And from then on, nothing else comes before Yahweh. That's nothing to toot my horn or nothing, but I got to tell you some truth, because that's how you get delivered and overcome, having a real testimony. As we used to say in the Christian church, no peanut butter and jelly. I mean, all testimony is testimony, but somebody may be in the listening one at somewhere at a point that Yahweh just opened up your finances, but you now getting enticed by the 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, the lust of the world, pride of the flesh. And people tell you, you deserve that. You work hard, you deserve that. But they don't worship Yahweh, God, like you do. And know you supposed to, you should return a tithe, because all the blessings that he give you, he wake you up and all that. They don't understand that. They laugh at you do on Saturday. You know you can go in and make, you know you make pretty good money on Saturday. I know somebody told me that. I said, I know you can. And I hit him with something. He looked at me and said, that's Bible. You know that. No, he didn't know. I hit him with my man came out of Numbers. He said, if the king gave me his whole palace full of silver, I still can't do it. And that's what I was getting back to, what I'm saying. We got a lot of sources, resources out here in this modern world now. You can go everywhere, but we have to stay in the guidelines of the Most High. We don't want a temple, a place of worship to Yahweh that much where we disobey him and our witness be in vain, because we're being watched and listened to. Amen. Second Chronicles chapter 3, verse 1. Solomon began to build a house at Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, where Yahweh appeared unto David, his father, the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jezubite. And verse 2, and he began to build in the second day of the month in the fourth year of his reign. Hallelujah. That's what Yahweh was trying to show me. I didn't know. So I thought I was going to be teaching on new moon. Today, it's the second day. I quote Malcolm, apologize for not sending out the notification. I will do that today. I apologize because I should have looked through many of our threads we had and seen that it hasn't been posted on there, one of the 7 threads we have. So I apologize. Second Chronicles chapter 3, verse 2, and he began to build in the second day of the second month in the fourth year of his reign. That's today. And I find it timely because at Beth Yahweh, we always say, we are the book. And I noticed how Brother Mariel brought it out when he was teaching first day unleavened bread. He said, that's the time right now. Y'all know that. Rabbi said, y'all know what he's saying? I said, oh, Rabbi, we know what he's saying. But what you get ready to say, man, don't hold that out. I'll tell you next time. But he said, no, I'm going to tell you what he's saying. I'm like, hallelujah. Rabbi, I'll leave you on some cliffhangers. We're talking about that today. Stuff. Man, you ain't going to teach for 7 weeks. That's not right. But, you know, I mean, that's right. But I used to get mad at Aha Bell. He said, ooh, Yahweh gave me something good on the subway coming to work. Next time I teach, I'm like, man, you just taught it last week. You ain't going to teach for another 5. I used to get so mad at him. But you know, it's all good. That's our fault for not getting together more often and talk that word like we do. You know, maybe this year, as the Kohen, we can get together more. Yeah, COVID messed us up and all that. Now we can get together more. You know, and it don't have to be, I mean, a formal setting. It could be at a park. We worship in the park at times, you know. Could be somewhere, you know. Zoom is cool. And Zoom is cool, too. I mean, but as long as we get more and do it more, Yahweh opens more up to us. And I found that fitting that we are in the second day of the second month, Ziph, and when Solomon is beginning to do this for Yahweh. Verse 3, and now these are the things which Solomon was instructed for the building of the house of Yahweh, the length of the cubits after the first measure in the porch. So just wanted to
That's where I pulled the stop in that chapter, because when that came up. Now going over to chapter 4, Second Chronicles chapter 4. Moreover, he made an altar of brass, 20 cubits in the length thereof, and 20 cubits. And I missed some though, that last part of chapter 3. Though. Well, Solomon in chapter 3, he's doing the some of the furnishings in the house. He's doing this, the cherubims. at least want to bring that up. He's doing the veil. Okay. Now we go to chapter 4, 2 Chronicles. going down to verse 2. Also, he made a molten sea of 10 cubits from the brim. And verse 3. And under it was the similitude of oxen, which compasses round about 10 in cubit, compassing the sea around about the two rows of the oxen were cast. Okay, so that's about the order of this one was important. Okay, verse 4. I found this interesting because when we were in the book of Revelation now in our congregation at Beth Yahweh, and we were taught in certain chapters leading up. We're going to get back into it because I think we get to chapter 13 and start revealing some things. Water. Verse 4 says, it's still in 12 oxen, 3 looking towards the north, 3 looking towards the west, and 3 looking towards the south, and 3 looking towards the east. And the sea was set above them, and the hind the parts was. What that stuck out to me when it's saying about the four beasts, head of a lion, the four figures. I think Aki Uriel taught that in Revelation chapter 4, I believe. But that had stuck when I read that. I said, that was interesting. How Yahweh is giving us some kind of clues, even in the construction of this next temple, that we see these things being spoken upon with the beast and how the four directions that they were, believing in Ezekiel also. Okay, what else? So that's about the time. 12:46:1. Okay, man. Okay, so right there, and going down to same chapter, chapter 2, verse 4 through chapter 4, going down to verse 18, 2 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 18. The Solomon made all these vessels in a great abundance, for the weight of the brass could not be found out. And Solomon made all the vessels that were for the house of Yahweh, the golden altar also, and the tables wherein the shewbread was set. Moreover, the candlesticks with their lamps, that they should burn after the manner before the oracle of pure gold, and the flowers and the lamps and the tongs made he of gold, and that perfect gold, and the snuffers and the basins and the spoons and the censers of pure gold, and the entry of the house of the inner door there for the most holy place, and the doors of the house of the temple were of gold. Was it verse 4? Yeah, we mentioned verse 4. What was verse 7? Oh, verse 7. And he made 10 candlesticks of gold according to their form and set them in the temple, 5 on the right and 5 on the left. And verse 8, I think I read that. And he made also 10 tables, placing them in the temple, 5 on the right, 5 on the left. And almost verse 14, because I had that highlighted. Okay. And the reason why that came to my being was that temple in Ezekiel, that spiritual temple. That wasn't so much of a physical. This right here it can come the closest to that temple. But that temple that Ezekiel had a vision of when they were in the captivity had a lot of instruments also. It was very large because while we know that why, we're going to learn as we're in Revelation now that that the Gentiles, as people say, Gentiles, or it's only they only came for Israel. That's true, but everybody is Yahweh don't wish not to perish, as Peter say, and as Paul was sent to be the missionary, the teacher of the Gentiles. And Peter was for the Jews, the Hebrew. So that's why that temple in Ezekiel had to be that enormous size to show that it's going to be mankind. Why? And I think we go over today or we went over, and Revelation said it was a number, what was it, 144? It just lists 144, 12,000 for each tribe, 12 tribes. But it also said you read down a number that no man can number. And it made me look so, as it said, the gold that Solomon had, they said they didn't know the weight of it. Because it made you think about like how the comparison is the closest we can get a comparison, a picture of our mind of the kingdom of heaven when it mentions like the gold and the walls and the streets. But on that note, time is 12:50. On that note, four pages away. I just was led by Yahweh, like I said, because I was reading and studying for New Moon this week, and that's how I got to that, where what I shared with you. We also always keep in mind Psalms 127, let Yahweh build a house, because we don't want to labor in vain. But we also want to be ready. We want to keep building, because we got plenty of examples in there. We got Nehemiah. Remember Nehemiah? You still, he didn't just let the war that was going on, the naysayers discourage him. He had what? One group you fight, one group you build. Or one time, like, you keep on building. If you're trying to fight, just put a pause, put your tools down, get on down and fight. So we always going to have some opposition come up against us. But why be the children of the king? So with that note, family, that's all that I'm going to share with that, which Yahweh put on me is more, but at another time. But not the being, so we can stay encouraged to know that we bring a vision to Yahweh, we bring a prayer and offer, and we wait on Yahweh. But as we wait on Yahweh, we prepare ourselves. We don't allow other things to come in. Like Yahweh causes, like I said, some finances, some blessings to be, burden be removed. Hold on. Don't just jump into something else. Hold that. So after you get Yahweh out the way, Matthew 6:33, all those other things will come. But can you just hold like, ooh, like me, I got out a lot of debt in 2020. That's why I ain't jumping by another car. And a car wasn't a debt. I told him to come and get a car back in August 2006. Never again I have a car payment like that unless I got the money, the blessings from Yahweh where I can pay somebody that. But the certain things, no, I don't allow them to hamper or get in the way. Is it easy? No, but with work, it becomes easier. Because I can do all things in the HaMashiach who strengthen me. I believe that now. Took some wild time, but I believe that. Yahweh not going to bring me to no challenge that he can't bring me through it. And to strengthen me and encourage me to help me get through it. That's why it's important for us to stay prayed up, stay reading our word. That's the clues. Just like the book of Revelation that we're in at Beth Yahweh. We don't need to go here like the world doing, people speculating, assuming, using the education from higher learning facilities and saying, well, Dr. So-and-so said it can't be that. It has to mean this right here in Revelation chapter. I'm going with Yahweh because why? Each one of his prophets, he gave a piece
of the key. Remember, what is it? Revelation chapter 1 to 3, it said, David, hold the keys. He said, I gave David the key with one door open, no man can close, and with door closed, no man can open. Then he also said, well, Joshua came along and said, Peter, I give you the keys. So what, the keys to understanding Revelation is all through the prophets. Each one of them prophets there. And you pray to Yahweh and ask him to lead you, God, and he'll give you line upon line. Here a little, there a little, precept upon precept. And that's Isaiah 28. I finally got that verse right there. It's Isaiah 28, 6, 10. Apologize for messing up. Because he's going to give us the ending from the beginning. He's not going to leave us stranded. But that's the key to understand the Most High. His word. We had to hold on that word. We had to keep chewing that word. Chewing that word and waiting with that tentative ear to hear. Like Samuel. Yes, Father. We told Eli. You call me? Eli said, I ain't calling. Go lay down. Samuel. Yes, Father. I mean, yes, he wanted to Eli. Yeah, you call me again. I ain't calling you, son. Go lay down. Then it dawned on Eli, like, whoa, whoa, whoa. If he calls you, if you hear somebody call you again, you say, yes, my God. Yes, Yahweh, it is me, your servant. And that's what we had to be like Samuel. Be ready. Be in a position. So when he say move, he move. I know you like your bread leavened, but you can't have it leavened this time. You get ready to roll out at a certain time. You got to have it unleavened. So that way you have some snacks with you. It's time to roll. I know you're accustomed to eating that. Can't do that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father God, thank you for giving me another opportunity to bring forth your word. I hope I didn't disappoint you. I hope I didn't discourage anyone. I hope I encouraged them to know that we serve a mighty one and we trust in your word. And lean not to our own understanding. Now you shall direct our path. No good thing you will withhold for them. Things that we call, that we want and that we call good, you want better for us. So, and knowing that, Father Yah, we continue to wait on you. Continue to feed us. Watch over our sister Debbie. Continue to strengthen her. Watch over all my Kohen brothers. Continue to strengthen them and feed them and give you the word so we can go out in this darkened land. Watch over my Zakin and all my sisters. Keep on teaching the word of Yahweh, tearing down the spirit of Jezebel and building baths of Yahweh. And the young adults, hold on. Be faithful. I know you're getting ridiculed, T. But you'll get the last laugh. Someone's going to come. You'll get one. You just be faithful. It looked like we're losing, but we really winning. Yes, you winning. Sometimes you can't judge things from what they see up front right away. And watch over, put the words of Brother Mario. Spirit, that he can teach your word today and open up all of our spiritual eyes so we can receive them. If that's the brother that's bringing them forth the word. We ask you all those things in your son, Yahushua's name, amen. And I'm going to do the closing prayer through the Sabbath. Blessed are you, Yahushua, King of the universe, rock of all eternities, righteousness in all generations, the trustworthy, mighty one who says and does, who speaks and fulfills all of whose words are righteous and true. Trustworthy are you, Yahushua, our power, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin. Hallelujah. Unfulfilled, for you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate. King, blessed are you, Yahushua. Are you, Yahushua, the mighty one who is trustworthy in all his words? Hallelujah. Shabbat Shalom. My friend. Did you finish? Yeah, it's 12:59, brother. You did it. Getting better, proud of you.
הדברים האלה אשר נוסעים מתוך היום אל לבבק ושינון תון לבניק וציבר כבר בשיטקה בביתקה ולחצקה בדרך.